Hello there, I'm Jay Bybee, and you may know me as one of Bush's lawyers that wrote the memos authorizing torture. But what you may not know is that right now, I'm a judge. That's right, a federal f***ing judge. So if you ever step before me in the Ninth Circuit Appellate Court, you better watch the f*** out, cause who knows what I might do. Waterboard you, wrap a towel around your neck and slam your head into a wall, strip you naked, slap you, put you in a tiny box with bugs, and I'll do it cause I'm crazy. I'm the Jack Bauer of judges, motherfucker, except I'm real, and you're paying my salary. Woo!
Reports out document an alarming rise in the number of hate groups in the United States. Found 926 active hate groups in the country. That's up more than 50%.
You have active intelligence that tells you people coming back from Iraq who might be mad at the military, who might simply have post-traumatic stress disorder, are being actively recruited by extremist groups?
Certainly. Our department is not the only department that has made that comment. The FBI has made the same comment. Returning veterans are targets of right-wing extremist groups that are trying to recruit those to commit violent acts within the country.
Yo, check this out, man.
That was a look back at last week's news, and you're about to hear This Week in Radical History for the week starting April 20th.
There is something going on in the ether.
The kids are now moving back into the street.
For every Martin they cut down, there must be 100 Martins to step into his shoes. Hey!
This Week in Radical History for April 20th, 1887. Oscar Wilde would write on this date, "Every great man nowadays has disciples, and it's usually Judas who gets to write the biography." Also on April 20th, 1914, the Ludlow Massacre of striking miners and their families by the National Guard and Rockefeller's Company Police, burning a striking miners' camp, killing at least 5 men, 2 women, and 12 children. Next time you wonder how places like Rockefeller Center was made, you know on whose backs and blood it was paid with. Also on April 20th, 1916, anarchist and feminist Emma Goldman on trial for presenting literature of birth control at the New Star Casino on April 8th. She defends herself but is convicted anyways. Refusing to pay the $100 blood money, she'll serve 15 days in jail instead. According to the New York Times, a similar reception to a Broadway play, Emma was applauded by several hundred supporters as she was led from the courthouse where police were posted to take her to jail. Also on this date, the Rascally Rabbit Rabbit. On April 20th, 1979, President Jimmy Carter, while fishing, was attacked by a radical rabbit. Kid you not. A rabbit is filmed jumping into a lake, swimming at Carter's boat while fishing, and a Secret Service agent uses an oar to knock it back as the rabbit tries to jump into the boat. The report of the rabbit's last words being, quote, "down with all tyrants," could not be confirmed. Here's just a little more on that story.
When the incident occurred, a White House photographer luckily captured the incident in a now infamous photograph. The Washington Post ran it as a front page news article along with a cartoon called Paws. A spoof on the movie poster, Jaws, the Carter White House decided to issue a statement that the attack did occur, but it was not an ordinary rabbit, but rather a vicious Civilicus aquaticus, also known as a swamp rabbit. They added that it was hissing menacingly, its teeth flashing and nostrils flared, and making straight for the president.
There he is!
Where?
There!
What, behind the rabbit?
There is the rabbit.
You silly sod!
What?
You got us all worked up!
Well, that's no ordinary rabbit. That's the most foul, cruel, and bad-tempered rodent you ever set eyes on.
You tit! I saw my arm and I was so scared.
Look, that rabbit's got a vicious streak a mile wide. It's a killer.
What's he do? Nibble your bum?
He's got huge, sharp... He can leap about... Look at the bones!
Go on, boys, chop his head off.
Right, silly little bidder. One rabbit, two, coming right up.
Look! Jesus Christ! I warned you.
I've done it again.
I warned you, but did you listen to me? Oh, no, you knew it all, didn't you? Oh, it's just a harmless little bunny, isn't it?
Okay, sorry about that. I just couldn't resist. This Week in Radical History for April 21st, 1967. I know this is hard to believe with all those good things Rockefeller did for the working man, but on this date, the governor Nelson Rockefeller signs anti-union Taylor Law, restricting public employees' right to strike with fines and jail time if they do. Also on April 21st, 2001, FBI raids Seattle Indymedia Center. Security plans to protect Western leaders attending the trade summit in Quebec were stolen from a car over the weekend and posted hours later on the Seattle-based website. FBI agents seized computer logs, records, and staff and told them not to talk about the incident under threat of being held in contempt of court. The organization had violated no laws, but the breach of security is another embarrassment for the Canadian government. This is just one of many long list of Indymedia centers being raided by the man. This week in radical history for April 22nd, three well-known anarchists are prominent on this day. In 1873 in France, Luigi Lacini is born. He followed the idea of propaganda of the deed. He goes and kills the Empress Elizabeth of Austria. Also on April 22nd, 1891, Niccolo Sacco of Sacco and Fassetti fame is born in Italy. Italian-American anarchists Sacco and Fassetti were put to death for the murder-robbery charge that was dubious at best. Riots and protests would occur throughout the United States and the world. Also on April 22nd, 1897, also an Italian anarchist, Pietro Accorito, age 26, attempts to stab the King of Italy and will get life imprisonment for the attempt. Two more items for April 22nd, 1899. Early feminist novel, The Awakening by Kate Choplin, is published. Lastly, on this date in 1996, nonviolent activists cut down three poles supporting the U.S. nuclear submarine radio trigger at Clam Lake, Wisconsin. The antenna collapsed and left the Navy unable to launch a first strike for several days. This would be just one of many actions against the Navy nuke submarine communication installation in northern Wisconsin. This week in radical history for April 23rd. People, the time's
This is your Radio Roots reporter, Hannah George. On this day, April 23rd, in 1635, the Boston Latin School opened in Boston, Massachusetts, becoming the very first public school in America. The school was originally founded to educate the sons of wealthy New England families. Since then, public education has evolved into a huge institution, unfortunately filled with inequalities. And it doesn't take a magnifying glass to see that public schools in working-class neighborhoods and communities of color are severely lacking in budget dollars and resources. Would I be wrong to say that America's public education system is actually designed to maintain the status quo? Yeah, I said it. This is your free speech educator reminding you, never let the past slip away. Say it.
Also on April 23rd, 1904, Flathead Indian Reservation in northwestern Montana splits into allotments. Nearly half the land is then, surprisingly, given to white settlers. Also on April 23, 1968, beginning the occupation of anti-war sit-in at Columbia University. Columbia University students seize administration building, hold dean hostage. Police storm campus 8 days from now, resulting in numerous casualties and 700-plus arrests as the strike continues for another month. 6 weeks prior to the Columbian strike, a petition bearing nearly 2,000 signatures calling on Columbia to cease classifying war research was brought to the president's office. The university response? Placing the students who presented it on disciplinary probation. So the strike began. Also on this date in 1993, the death of Cesar Chavez, nonviolent civil rights activist and founder of the United Farm Workers. Here's a short 25-second PSA in his own words.
We cannot defend and be kind to animals until we stop exploiting them in the name of sport, in the name of science, in the name of fashion, and yes, exploiting animals in the name of food. The basis for peace is respecting all creatures. That's the basis for peace.
This week in radical history for April 24th, 1923. About a month ago, the Bulgarian army opens fire on a peaceful demonstration in Yambol, Bulgaria, during an anarchist protest against the government's decision to disarm the people. The army shoots into a crowd and massacre occurs. On this date, April 24th, 1923, in Slivin, the anarchist Nikolai Dragnev and his two brothers are shot by the army under pretext of escape attempt. Nikolai Dragnev was one of the significant figures in Bulgarian anarchism. Propagandist and esteemed popular speaker, he is not part of the uprising in a March 26 protest and failed to hide after the repressions began. This would cost him his life.
This is your Radio Roots reporter, Hannah George. On this day, April 24th in 1954, political prisoner Mumia Abu-Jamal was born. Mumia was a member of the Black Panther Party, a supporter of the Radical Move community, and active in the Association of Black Journalists. In 1982, he was convicted of shooting a police officer and sentenced to death in what his supporters labeled an outrageously unfair trial. Despite many appeals and an abundance of evidence supporting his innocence, he remains on death row. While in prison, Mumia Abu-Jamal continues his amazing work as a journalist, passionately exposing injustices and speaking out against police brutality and the prison industrial complex. Yeah, I said it. This is your free speech educator reminding you, never let the past slip away.
Mark Charles Parker, an African American, was accused of raping a white woman. When he was arrested, the Mississippi State Trooper offered the woman's husband a pistol to shoot Parker. 3 days before Parker was to stand trial, he is dragged from his cell, beaten and shot on this date in 1959. His body was found in the Pearl River 10 days later. The FBI investigated and even obtained confessions from some of the 8 white suspects. However, the county prosecutor refused to present the evidence, and the state grand jury and federal grand jury refused to indict. Also on April 24, 1964, crosses burned in 64 of Mississippi's 82 counties to prepare for the Freedom Summer. Freedom Summer was an event organized to get blacks registered to vote, and the KKK would come out in force to try to stop it. Lastly, on this date, in 1989 in China, tens of thousands of students strike in Beijing. On the 27th, 50,000 students march to Tiananmen Square in defiance of authorities. A prelude to the anti-government protests in Tiananmen Square, where up to 1 million gather in May. A few years later, the U.S. had normalized relationships with China, but 20 years later, and after 40 years of sanctions, the U.S. will not normalize relationships with Cuba. Go figure.
This is your Radio Roots reporter, Hannah George. On this day, April 25th in 1805, the Lewis and Clark expedition reached the junction of the Missouri and the Yellowstone River in what is now North Dakota. They had set out about a year earlier to evaluate the land and explore the Missouri River in search of a trade route to the Pacific Ocean. Early on in their journey, Lewis and Clark were joined by a white translator and his Shoshone wife, Sacagawea, who was sold to him at a young age. Sacagawea played a crucial role in the expedition. Unfortunately, there are many romanticized fabrications about Sacagawea's life, and her contributions are often manipulated to represent Indian compliance with colonialism. Yeah, I said it. This is your free speech educator reminding you, never let the past slip away.
Also on April 25th, 1908, journalist Edward R. Morales is born. Here's an actor quoting his words.
"We must not confuse dissent with disloyalty. We must remember always that accusation is not proof, and that conviction depends upon evidence and due process of law. We will not walk in fear one of another. We will not be driven by fear into an age of unreason if we dig deep in our history and our doctrine, and remember that we are not descended from fearful men, not from men who feared to write, to associate, to speak, and to defend the causes that were for the moment unpopular. This is no time for men who oppose Senator McCarthy's methods to keep silent, or for those who approve. We can deny our heritage and our history, but we cannot escape responsibility for the results. We proclaim ourselves, indeed as we are, the defenders of freedom wherever it continues to exist in the world, but we cannot defend freedom abroad by deserting it at home. The actions of the junior senator from Wisconsin have caused alarm and dismay amongst our allies abroad, and given considerable comfort to our enemies. And whose fault is that? Not really his. He didn't create this situation of fear. He merely exploited it, and rather successfully. Cassius was right. The fault, dear Brutus, is not in our stars, but in ourselves. Good night, and good luck."
Also on April 25th in 1996 in Australia, Anzac Day. Swastikas are painted on the front door of Anarchist Barricade Bookstore. A local demonstration against fascist organizations is held in a march to the bookstore. Anzac Day is kind of Australian New Zealand's Liberation Day, when the fighting men of World War I, tired of British rule over them and using them as pawns during the war, gained their independence from that colonial power. This week in Radical History for April 26, 1649 in England. Robert Lockyer is sentenced to be shot for a fermenting revolt in the New Model Army, and the first Digger Manifesto is published. The True Levelers, Standard Advanced. Quote, "For by their labors the poor have lifted up the tyrants and tyranny, and by denying them labor for hire, it shall pull them down again. He that works for another, either for wages or to pay him rent, works unrighteously and still lifts up the curse."
Club is all their law, stand up now, the club is all their law, stand up now. The club is all their law to keep all men in awe that they no vision saw to maintain such a law. Stand up now, diggers all, stand up now.
This is your Radio Roots reporter, Hannah George. On this day, April 26, in 1873, the Battle of Sand Butte occurred in what is now Oregon, marking a small victory for the Modoc against the U.S. Army. The Modoc War began in 1872 when members of the Modoc tribe resisted the displacement caused by the influx of white settlers and refused to stay on a reservation. Although the Modoc won many of the battles throughout the Modoc War, they were ultimately forced to surrender in 1873, and four of their leaders were hung. Ironically, the elimination of native resistance is a defining tactic in the development of this free country. Yeah, I said it. This is your free speech educator reminding you, never let the past slip away.
Only two more items. In 1902, Congress passes the Second Chinese Exclusion Act, making it unlawful for Chinese laborers to enter the United States for the next 10 years and denying naturalized citizenship to those Chinese already here. In 1904, the act is extended indefinitely, the Chinese being the Mexicans of their day. Lastly, on this date in 1998 in Guatemala, Bishop Candidera is assassinated. 2 days after release of the report blaming U.S.-backed Guatemala military government for hundreds of thousands of deaths in 1980s, the military had beat his face so badly that he could not be identified. The Guatemalan military getting its best training from U.S. terrorism training camp at the School of Americas in Fort Benning, Georgia. Here's a short outtake about Fort Benning and the School of Americas.
Since 1946, the U.S. Pentagon has operated a military training center for Latin American soldiers known as the School of the Americas, ranging from torture to mass killing, causing Latin American soldiers in what it refers to as counterinsurgency operations. The school has become a focus of attention as many of its graduates have been found to have committed a range of crimes in their home countries, ranging from torture to mass killing. Panama's Manuel Noriega, Argentina's Leopoldo Galtieri, and Guatemala's Rios Montt are just three of the 10 Latin American dictators who attended the School of the Americas before seizing power by military coup.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
You have just been on a radical history ride for this week, recorded at the Mobile Fortress of Glee Glee Studios. Thanks as always to the Radio Roots crew at WBAI in New York and the dozens or so audio I have oh so gently lifted for this show. Always looking for radical indie music for my show. If you know of any, please feel free to contact me at themikecannonshow@hotmail.com. This week's indie music is by Holy Holy Holy, and warning, the song uses the F and S word a lot, and I do not mean friend and sugar. So feel free to end the show right now if you have FCC concerns. But before you fade out, a reminder that I'm always and forever yours in a struggle, Mike Cannon. Again, here is Holy, Holy, Holy.
Dancing is a revolution not worth having.
we're gonna fuck shit up and do it all for love.
It'll attract less attention than walking around naked, I suppose.